The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Well, the good Wallace didn't get herself ejected in the state final for some dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want to say I dreaded showing up to this football game on Friday night, but...
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Mike, if you want to talk, you have to talk into the microphone. There we go. Mic to mic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pittsfield Community Radio, WTBR, Pittsfield, WSBR, Lee. This is Bird's Eye View. Jesse and Mike here. Henry is in the booth as well. And so much to talk about, so much to discuss. It was miserable this weekend, and now it's all nice and sunny and hot out. Western Mass Championship games, we had them. MIA State Tournament Bracket Release, we got it yesterday. Start off the top by saying Hoosick Valley has a new head football coach. Marshall Maxwell stepped down after 2 years, and Jeremy Levesque is going to replace him to helm the program. He has been an assistant on staff for about 6 years now, offensive coordinator the last few years. He was the offensive coordinator under Mike Bostwick, and Bostwick called plays. Under Marshall Maxwell, he's been the offensive coordinator the 2 years that Maxwell was there, but Levesque called plays, so that was kind of a change. And so now he is taking over as the head coach, but he said that the whole staff is back. They're continuing the co-op, getting kids from Drury and Mount Greylock, and he's really, really excited. He's from Adams, Hoosick graduate in 2003, and he has been a part of Hoosick football since basically his entire life. He said, yeah, I was a water boy at 3 years old. You know, he coached, he said the Cheshire had its own youth football league. And he coached that right after he graduated.
That's wild to think about.
Yeah. Yeah. around 05, 06. And then it combined with Adams to make the Adams Cheshire Youth Football League, which is, of course, still live and kicking. And he was coaching in that for a long time, and then he finally joined on the Hoosick staff. So yeah, he's been a part of this. He's been a Hurricane for a long time, and now he, so yeah, he, this is always the goal, and he was very, very excited to get it, to put his name in the hat.
Yeah, that was still a pretty desirable job. So, in the story, like, they restarted the youth or the JV program.
Yes.
So it doesn't seem like things will be totally starting from scratch, but there will be some concern on my part of,
yeah,
hey, we're starting from scratch.
And I asked about that. It was like, yeah, you know, they're going to graduate about 16 seniors, most of them mm-hmm. from Hoosick, and those are, you know, 4-year starters.
16 players from a Berkshire County football team is
a lot.
Is like, tough. Like,
yeah.
More than 50% of the team often.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, you got Quinnell Bradley, who's an all Berkshire player. You got Aiden Wicks, Kamarian Kastner, all Berkshire players. You have basically your entire line. Jacob Rowski was defensive MVP this year. Logan O'Connell was an all team Berkshire guy. You had
Vasquez.
Jake Owen Vasquez, who was defensive MVP a couple of years ago. Noah Rehill was a linebacker. So yeah, it's a lot. Graduate a lot. And this is where the co-op is so critical, because then some of those new guys come in and they really help out. And the fact that they did have a JV program means, you know, if it was just Hoosick and they had like 25 kids, those 16 graduates, like, all right, so you had like 7 kids, and then you're going to get new kids to come in, mm-hmm. but everyone's going to be kind of learning from scratch by and large. And now with this co-op, the hope is, okay, well, you know, maybe we had another, I don't know, 8 kids who got some varsity minutes because Hoosick was blowing teams out. And mm-hmm. so that way, you know, the younger kids got fourth quarter minutes to play. But also, they had a real JV program. And so mm-hmm. they got to play actual games. They actually, you know, and they were in the system. They got time on the field. So they're not just completely starting from scratch. And so I think that's what he's very hopeful about, is that they're not starting from square one. These kids have been in the program. They've played real games, mm-hmm. either at the JV or varsity level, and so... Mm-hmm.
You should have a quarterback back, right?
Yeah. Ben Payton should be back. He'll be a senior. So, yeah. All the skill position players are gone, but they'll have a quarterback. So...
This is, Quanell and Kamarian don't, like, walk through the door every day. Like,
no.
Those kids come along once every 10 years.
No. And, I mean, yeah, possibly four of their five linemen are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, also an issue.
Okay.
But, yeah, we'll see how they do. So, it'll be a new face in Cheshire, but an old face. And, it'll be interesting to see. He's excited about, play some Berkshire teams. So Hoosick Valley, they have their new coach. That means that everyone in the county has a coach, even though there's fewer teams every year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on.
Stuff happening.
Let's just break down some state brackets real quick.
Sure.
We had two number one seeds in the Berkshires, Pittsfield High. They were the number one team in D4 last year in the state, and they got moved up to D3. To clarify, the first 2 years of the statewide era, Pittsfield was in D3, and then they got bumped down to D4 for 2 years, and now we're in year five. So in year five and year six, Pittsfield's back in D3 for everything.
Mm-hmm.
So last year in D4, they were the number one seed. They went to the semifinals, lost. Now in their first year back in D3, they are still the number one seed. So very, very impressive. Had a very good year. And they will get to host three games as long as they keep winning. Round of 32, 16, and then quarterfinals. Their first round opponent, we don't know yet. They're in a prelim game between 32 and 33. So whoever wins that will be at PHS. Generals coming off their third straight Western Mass Class B championship game, beat Wakona 7-1 at Joel Field on Saturday. It was not a fun day because Mike and I were at Westfield State for a Western Mass softball doubleheader, and it was 65 degrees out, and I was wearing shorts, and it was great. And then we got done around 2:30 or so, and I was like, all right, you know what? It's going to save me 25 minutes of driving if I just don't go home, if I just go straight to Adams.
Yeah.
So I drove straight to Adams, and I went to – have you been to Doughboys?
No, I don't believe so.
It's right on the border between Adams and North Adams on, was it Route 8? If you're going to McCann or Drury, like that main road.
So like downtown Adams?
No. You're going towards McCann and Drury, like before you turn right. Like, you're just going on that main road before you turn.
Like, before Cumberland Farms?
Yeah.
No, I don't know it.
Yeah. It legitimately might be the second best pizza place in Berkshire County.
Okay.
I think Roberto's in Sheffield is number one.
Okay, I was going to say, you're going to hold us in suspense.
No. I think Roberto's in Sheffield is number one.
Sheffield? Okay, wow. You go far and wide for your pizza, my man.
Well, what do you mean go? That's a...
Well, you're in Sheffield. Sheffield and Adams are...
I mean... I don't think I've gotten them if I haven't been covering them out every
That's
day.
That's fair, I suppose.
my treat when I cover Mount Everest is to get Roberto's.
Okay. All right.
I'll
keep that in mind when I'm telling you to go to Sheffield.
I think I told you once. I think you were like, Everett and I pack sandwiches. So
We had Guido's or something down there. Yeah.
No. If I have to go to Mount Everett, that's my treat. Is I get to get Roberto's.
Okay.
I think they're still number one, but yeah, Doughboys and Adams really, really, really good. They're one of those that's like a very, it's almost no crust, it's got a really good bottom crust. It's good stuff. Mm. The pepperoni is great. So I went there, scarfed down food because you and I had basically like not eaten that whole day. So funny story. So I hadn't eaten and I had to drive, I drove an hour from Pittsfield to Westfield and then Mike hadn't eaten. So we finished covering the first game.
I only had like a 10-minute drive from the hotel.
Yeah. I don't know what you were doing. You were lacking. And then Mike runs off to Duncan between games and he gets back in like the second inning of my game.
Yes.
And I was like, where's your food? He goes, oh, it's already gone.
Yeah. I ate it very, very quickly.
Yeah, so I scarfed down like four or five hash browns from Dunkin' and a little bit of a blueberry donut to tide me over.
Got us through.
Powered through. So I scarfed down some pizza, and then I drove another 500 yards to the Walmart. And,
sure.
Because they had the subway there, and I slipped into a booth.
It's just right there.
And, use the free Walmart Wi-Fi to write my story, upload the photos from your game, get the photos that you took of my game to get my story up, then read and edit Dylan's story and get that up.
Oh, from the 17 inning.
From the 17 inning one. We'll talk about that in a moment. And then I went straight from there, and the Wacona PHS baseball game had already finished like the first half inning. So yeah, anyway, then it dropped. It dropped in temperature, and all of a sudden it was raining, and I was very much not happy. So, you know, went from 65 in shorts is great to 49 degrees and rainy.
Tough.
And I was shivering. Like, this sucks. Anyway, Jay Cody and James Rabuse was the battle that we had been, like, hoping for. You know, two best pitchers in the county, and Jay Cody won it. And he was phenomenal. He was dialed in. Every pitch was working. He was super efficient. He went the full seven innings, struck out 13. He retired his, nine, 12 batters. Just Wacona could not do anything against him. And Pittsfield won. And on the flip side, Pittsfield just hit against James Rabuse really, really well. Wacona made a bunch of errors on defense. But their bats also just didn't do enough, which has kind of been their issue a little bit in the most high-profile games. But yeah, I mean, maybe I didn't expect it to be... It was like 4-1 or 5-1 probably by the third or fourth inning. I did not expect it to be out of hand that quickly. But I did expect Pittsfield to be better and to win, because I felt as though... Like, if Wacona is facing a lot of teams, Rabuse is kind of an intimidation factor. And that's not going to be the case against PHS, because they can be like, yo, we got two of those, right? And you're facing those two guys in practice, so you're kind of more used to it. And that, I think that was in part the case. But yeah, so PHS, three straight Western Mass Championships. They beat Wacona in 24. They beat Taconic last year, and now they beat Wacona again. I don't think Howard had this in his story. I know I got a picture of it. Very, very impressive sportsmanship from the Wacona baseball team. They had little pink ribbons pinned to their baseball caps.
Sure.
And the CQ on it. So initials for Colleen Quinn, just kind of showing their support after she passed last week. So just really, really nice to see. PHS baseball still did set up the chair for her.
Yep.
Right next to the dugout. I got a picture of that in the paper. So, yeah, good sportsmanship, good stuff on that front. And a solid crowd given the poor conditions.
good, yeah. Yeah, the standard, unfortunately, is like Pittsfield Taconic in Wacona Park standard, but beautiful weather, so.
Yeah, weather-wise has made it certainly worse. If it was at Wacona Park, I'm sure it'll be kind of packed, but it is what it is. Joe Wolf was still a good host. It just, you know,
5:30 Saturday of Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, that's tough. And then once again, if it was 15 degrees warmer and not rainy, I think the place would have had a lot more people.
So
Wacona is also 13 in D4.
Yes. This batch of Pittsfield seniors were sophomores at Polar Park 3 years ago now. So a chance to get back there. Yeah, like you said, three straight Western Mass titles. Their kind of Western Mass run on its own, those three pitchers, is kind of wild. You mentioned Cody had 13 strikeouts, pitched a complete game, gave up one run. Melly in the semifinals, 13 strikeouts, gave up no runs in seven innings. And Matt Egan in the first game, the quarterfinal, six innings, no runs, eight strikeouts.
It's pretty good.
That's set up. That is set up for a run to Polar Park. If you're not there, that's somewhat disappointing at this point.
Yeah, I'm interested.
You're not
going to
have three senior arms
higher,
like that. Yeah,
it's a higher standard of competition. Like it should be said, it's D3. You're going to face some bigger teams, but they face a lot of bigger teams in their league. And
I did look into that because, like, yeah, we mentioned that obviously they play a very hard schedule. They play the majority D3, D2, D1 teams.
No, majority D2.
D2. I was going to do all three. Just saying the majority D3 and up.
Oh, yes, sure. The only D3 team that would play is Taconic. Everyone else is D2 or D1.
Right. But the last time they played a team of that magnitude was now May 12th in the Minichaw game, because they played Monument twice, Frontier, and then Wakona.
So you're suggesting that they're not quite... they're a little out of practice.
You've been beating up on some smaller schools for the past 2 weeks.
That's a fair point.
So
it's
been a bit. But it's baseball, and these kids are playing high-level baseball like regardless. And like I said, you're not going to have three senior arms like that ever. Like this is an anomaly to have three senior college-level arms geared up for a state tournament where you have to win five games.
Agreed, and... I've made this comparison before, so Mike is going to roll his eyes. But I think there's a certain level of desperation for PHS. You know, these kids got there their sophomore year, and I kind of feel like there's a little bit of a Quinnell Bradley at Aiden Wicks effect, right? Where it's kind of like we were there sophomore year, we couldn't get it done, we were sophomores. Junior year, it didn't work out, and now it's senior year, and we know what we can do. We got the talent, and I'm looking forward to see if PHS has that level of desperation that, you know, I need to win at all costs because this is the only chance we're going to get, and we're really, really, really good this year. So it will be very interesting to see how dialed in they are from the first inning of the playoffs. And then, for Wakona, just how do you respond? How do you bounce back? You lost 7-1, tough loss. It certainly could have been a lot closer. And I don't think they need Dubuque to pitch in the first game. I think they could easily win that game, especially because the second game they face Millbury, which is the team that beat PHS in the semifinals and is the reigning Division IV champ. So, if you do win in the first round, your second round is against the reigning D4 champ. And that's a really tough game, so you're going to need your best pitcher on his best stuff. Yeah, we're going to take a little break. We come back, we'll talk a little about Lennox, talk about Division 5 bracket, talk about some softball Western Mass finals. All right, stick with us.
At Pittsfield Community Television, we have a saying: anyone can learn to create television. With the support of trained production staff, we can teach you how to professionally operate a camcorder, use editing software to tell a story, work as a team in a production studio, and take those skills into the community. If you've been curious as to how video production works, we'd love to have you as a member. Visit us online at pittsfieldtv.org or call us at 445-4234 for more information.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
Welcome back, folks. Bird's Eye View here on WTBR. And we're talking about Western Mass State Tournament brackets, all that good stuff. Mentioned PHS winning its third straight Western Mass title in baseball. Lennox went to its first Western Mass final in a long time. Had a great run. 5 seed beat number 4 Franklin Tech, beat number 1 Drury, faced number 2 Greenfield. And Mike and I were score watching that game. And it's like, and the game's been going on for like an hour and 12. They're in their 6th inning. That's, jealous. Man, that's a lightning fast game. Pitcher's duel, great stuff. And then the game's going in the 8th inning. It's going in the 9th inning. Then it's going in the 11th inning. And we're laughing. It's like, oh my God. Game's not ending. Going in the 14th inning. Game went 17 innings. Greenfield won 4-3 on a walk-off in 17 innings. That's 2.5 complete baseball games. That's almost 2 complete MLB games. Credit to Lennox pitcher Mason Daly, because he threw 9 2/3 innings, did not give up a walk, 3 hits and 3 Ks. Is just unbelievable stuff. Was completely in the zone, and Lennox's offense just could not get it done. Lost 4-3. And you do kind of wonder, because this loss is crushing, right? To be that close and to lose. And so where do you think they go, Mike? Because you do have that really emotional, like, we were so close. and it's brutal to lose like that. On the other hand, you can say, look, that's a Western Mass champ.
Yeah.
And that's the 5 seed in Division 5. And, you know, we it took them 17 innings to beat us. They're not, you know, we can compete with the top 5 seed.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be a big confidence boost, too.
Yeah, I mean, the times I've seen Lennox this year, personality-wise, it kind of works. They've never seemed like tight in games or anything like that. I saw them beat Taconic, and then saw them beat McCann Tech. Both were kind of tight up and down games. And I just thought they seem mentally strong enough to handle these things. I think Robbie Bazinet is like on top of being like one of the best baseball players in Western Mass. I think he's just kind of an emotional charge for them. I don't like Mason Daly's not that, but they have these guys like, you know, like David Kirchner is a quarterback. Seamus Cooney is a football star. Like these are high emotion kind of guys. And yeah, I think it's whatever it is that Brian Malloy's done. This is his first year as head coach there. And that was kind of like a surprise a little bit. Like we didn't see it coming that like, oh, Lennox has a new baseball coach after 20 odd years. Whatever he's done there, like it's hard to say it hasn't worked. Like granted, they didn't win the Western Mass title, but I'm not sure we really expected them to be in that game. And obviously a lot goes into that with what was going on with Drury, but yeah, it works. I wouldn't. Yeah, you got a full week off. Prom is out of the way, as it was there, and I think you're fully reset now. A lot of like at this time of year, seniors, which they have, I believe, a few, are full time baseball players. Like that's the cool part about this. So you get to head into this tournament. Where did you say they were? The 9? Is that right?
Lennox is number 14.
They're 14, sorry.
Number 19,
nine,
Rockport.
Right. Okay.
And to Mike's great pleasure, Rockport. So I've always had this question, actually, because since the statewide is pure power ratings, and your rating, if you're top 32, you're in no matter what. I've always wondered, like, what's the worst record you could have and make it? Because literally, I mean, the second year of it, Pittsfield girls basketball, I covered them. They beat Stoneham in the first round. Stoneham was like 5-15. It's like, okay, that's a terrible record. But you're the 18th seed, which is, you know, that's almost, you're almost midway through. You're almost at a home game. That's something that's, you know, really something. And so I've wondered, could you be a winless team and make it, right? If you just played the like most crazy schedule and you'd have to lose every game by like one. You know, if you were getting blown out, I don't think it would work. There'd be too much negative, but like what's the word? Anyway, Rockport's 1-19.
Yep.
Which is just the fact that you're allowed to make the playoffs at 1-19 is really like, what are we doing here?
They were, yeah, they, all, it looks like they were 0-18 and then won a game.
All respect to the Vikings, man. But
that's a bizarre. Yeah,
really,
you go through.
All right, can we not have like a you got to win one. So anyway, you know, I'm gonna need Lennox to win that first round.
Hey, they were not in a lot of close games either. Looking at it, a lot of 10-0s, 26-0, 10-0, 12-1, 13-1, 17-7, 7-1, 13-5, 10-0, 12-0.
I mean, it's a 5-run margin of victory, so that they haven't done that once.
Like, what are you playing, like an MLB schedule? How are you there? I don't get it. They did, yeah. They played North Reading, who's
North Reading's really
North
good.
Reading's is the 2 seed in D3. I mean, Manchester Essex,
which is I think a high seed in D5.
Like the Hamilton Wenham, you said is way like that's like the number one team in the state, right?
Hamilton Wenham has the second best rating in the state.
Yeah, so they lost to them 26-0. So take that, what you will. North Reading, Manchester Essex, Ipswich.
I think Ipswich.
Yeah,
is pretty
I mean all North Shore schools, Amesbury,
Amesbury's high,
Linfield, Georgetown. Yeah,
Linfield's really high.
Yeah, so
Georgetown's
so
number
very hard
two
schedule,
in D5. Yeah,
I can't imagine going through a season and winning one game and then being like, oh, we're gonna play a playoff game. We're gonna drive to Lennox to do it.
Yeah, maybe that's what you deserve. It's a long drive.
Yeah,
I mean, I got a friend in Rockport, and that's an easy 3.5 hours.
The only thing I know about Rockport is it's like a shoe company or shoe store. back in Marlboro. Anyway.
Ah, sure. Okay.
And I got it mistook yesterday with either Roxbury or Rockland.
I think, yeah. You said Rockland is who you got. I feel like you got a mistake with Roxbury. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, Rockport. The funny thing about Rockport is that you have to cross a bridge to get to, at least to get to where my friend lives, because it's like so far out there, and it's like the boat's got to be let out. So if you get there at the wrong time, you kind of have to just sit in your car and wait like 20 minutes for the drawbridge to be up.
Like Wellfleet, yeah.
Anyway, let's see. Softball, Lennox lost 5-2 to Franklin Tech in the Class C final. And Hoosick Valley won its first Western Mass title since 2022. It won the inaugural Class D championship. It now wins again. Went there last year, lost to Charnage Falls. This year, just complete domination. Won every Western Mass game by an average of 15 runs. Beat Munson 17-3. It wouldn't have been that far out, but there is no run rule in Western Mass finals. So it was 17-3. Really, really, really impressive performance from Hoosick. They look buttoned up. They get the one seed in Division 5. First time ever a Berkshire County softball program gets the one seed.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, are you putting a truck on my shoe? Is that an ice cream? That's an ice cream truck. That's cool. On my shoe. As long as it doesn't melt on my shoe. Right? Because they're black and that, and, you know, I don't want to have to get out there. You can drive it on my shoe. That's fine. Mm. Anyway, a lot of ice cream for the Hoosick Valley softball team. They just, they got, they're another team with just, that has the talent. They have the talent. You know, they don't, Gracelyn Wright is not like, you know, Maddie Leventhal. She's not going to get 18 strikeouts and throw 65 miles an hour. But she does a decent job of pitching to contact, let the defense make the plays. She's a really good infield. And as long as the offense keeps producing, they're going to be able to play with anybody.
It was during Coach Mike Amin's like post game behind the dugout. Trophy pictures are being taken and whatnot. He's like, he quickly caught himself and was like, oh no, that was a good team too. But he's like, it's nice to be here, you know, like 4 years or whatever it is after, you know, we were kind of a pitcher driven team. And to do it with just this entire, you know, top to bottom team that they are, which is, I mean, an accurate statement, but yeah, was quick to be like, oh no to that. Well, 2022 we had a good team around Riley Whittick as well, but none of that was, yeah, like you can win in softball a couple different ways, one of which is to have the green field level pitcher of the past 4 years, and then yeah, this is kind of, I mean, this is somewhat of a different way that we don't see quite as often, which is you have nine girls who can hit for power.
Yeah, there was something that he said that kind of struck me. It was like kind of the way he said it, where it was like, if you're a Berkshire team and you're down five runs, like it's kind of like whatever, you know.
And it's kind of like,
you know, like we've talked for a while about how the Valley produces pitchers way better than the Berkshires, you know, like kind of next level pitchers, and it's true. But the Berkshire produces offense like few others, you know. Like there's a lot of teams out here that can hit. There's a lot of girls out here who can really hit, and yeah, as long as the Hoosick bats stay producing, even against the next level pitchers, against pitchers who can pitch speed, there really will be a very, very tough out for anybody in states, and they're the one seed. So, you know, they get to be at Russell Fields in Adams for three more games. Mm-hmm. And then there's a chance they can face Lennox, which would be really, really fun. Lennox is the nine seed, so they'll get a home game. They'll be at number eight, Bristol County, yeah. Agricultural, which does not have a good opponent rating at all.
Mm-hmm.
So if Lennox beats Bristol County, then they will be most likely at Hoosick in the quarterfinals with the state semifinal on the line, Final Four trophy on the line.
Yeah. And not, I mean, two, like they played twice, but neither were blowouts like Hoosick's typical games. I think Lennox, are they still the only team to keep them to single digit runs? They
might be. Yeah.
Pull that up real quick.
No, Wakona did it once.
Wakona did it. Okay. Wakona did as well. But yeah, it was, what was it, 6-2, and then what was the other one? 18-12. So two different games, but both within, you know, a handful of runs.
I mean, the second one is
six runs, four runs, yeah.
Yeah, so.
They can play with them.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they can play with them.
If they're clean.
And they yeah, the clean is the question. Clean is the question mark. He's down here by me.
Yeah. As he's not yanking out wires.
We're no, good. No wires. Not yet, at least. If we magically go off air, then you'll know he yanked out a wire. Although, we're almost out of time. So, she just mentioned Mount Greylock Boys Tennis, number 4 in the state. Very impressive. We'll see what their run can do.
They won yesterday, yep.
So, they will keep on. They get to play at Williams College until the quarter. Yeah, through the quarterfinal round, as long as they keep winning. All right. That wraps about up for us. A lot of preliminary and first round games kind of this weekend, so we will see how everyone fares next week. Really get into the second round, maybe even quarterfinals. Thank you for tuning in. Take it easy.